Welcome to the Community Fellowship Podcast, your way to stay connected with biblically themed messages, discussions, and interviews from Community Fellowship in East Barnard, Texas. Learn more about our church at the cfeb.church website, check us out on social media at CF East Barnard, or attend an in-person service at 635 Main Street in East Barnard. We are a local church that works to make the love of Christ for all humanity known to our community and the world. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy this week's content.
Well, if you didn't know this, I am the middle of three siblings in my family. I have an older brother and a younger sister, and I am confident that if they were here with us this morning, we would all absolutely agree on who the most disobedient and disrespectful of us was to our parents growing up. Me. I know what you're thinking. I know you're thinking, shame, shame, Pastor James, shame, shame. But here's the thing. I am, some of you know this, I'm a pretty emotional guy, but I also am a very stubborn guy. If you haven't got to know that about me, just know me long enough, you'll realize it, all right? But there is absolutely one story that, again, if they were all here, I know that we would tell the story. In fact, when we get together, sometimes they do tell the story, okay? But there's one story that I know that they would point to show this truth. So I was a senior in high school, and I normally would go over and I would pick up my girlfriend, Megan, from her apartment, which was on the north side of our town, about 15 minutes away, and I'd go and I would pick her up for school. So one morning, I'm doing that, I drive over there, make the regular drive, I get out of the car, go knock on the door, hug her, and we walk over to the car, and I try to start the car. Tick, 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 tick. Nothing. Try again. Tick, 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 tick. Nothing. So we go over back to her door, and we ask her dad if he'll drive us to school so to get us there on time. And after school, I call my dad, and I say, Dad, the car won't start. I can't get it to start. And he says, well, where are you? Where is it? And I said, gulp. It's in Megan's house. Now, what I didn't tell you is that I was grounded from going to pick her up. And so the car is at her house, not starting. Told you, I was the disobedient child. I was the disobedient child. Well, this morning, we are going to be turning back into our series on the Ten Commandments. We took a break last week to talk about how important it is for all of us to be involved in a community, a smaller group community. And so hopefully you got that message last week. Again, I want to say thank you to the Kovars and such an incredible being able to share their testimony about how groups have been important in their lives. But we took that break, but I think it was good because it kind of created a natural rhythm and break for us from the Ten Commandments. The first 4 weeks, we looked at how our relationship with God is supposed to be impacted by these commands. We saw that God's people are supposed to be in a right relationship with the Lord through those first 4 commands. We saw that he was trying to separate them from all the other people groups when it came to their worship of Yahweh. Yahweh had very distinct ideas about what his worship as the God above all God should look like in comparison to the rest of the nations that surrounded Israel. Israel was distinct in their relationship with God because he was one God, and he wasn't supposed to be like the others who were worshipped through, they had temples that would have all these kind of pictures or their statues of these gods. But he said, no, I want you to give me one day out of the whole week for rest and worship, and I'm not going to be like any of the other gods. You're not going to make a picture of me because I can't be made into a picture because I'm the God who made it all. And so those first four commands showed us our relationship with God. And then the last 6 commands that we're about to dive into this morning, those show us our relationship to others, how we're supposed to relate with other people. So we could essentially say that the first 4 commands are about our vertical relationship with God, and the last 6 are about our horizontal relationship with others. In Mark 12, when Jesus is confronted by a religious teacher of his day, he's asked what the greatest command from Torah was. Now, this leader was essentially testing Jesus because there were 613 laws in the Old Testament. And so he's asking for what Jesus believes the one and most important one to be. And this would be for any other person. This would be like picking a needle out of a haystack, right? But Jesus answers the question immediately. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the other is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. You have to love how Jesus always responds. Right, when the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they come and they try to trap him with these questions, Jesus usually responds with a question of his own to kind of respond back to them. Here, this leader, this teacher, was wanting Jesus to give one command, and Jesus says, ha, 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 two. Right? You got to love how Jesus responds always to these leaders. And so Jesus essentially says, love God, love others. And if we really were to look at this, Moses doesn't do this in these Ten Commandments, but really if we were to look at it, that's essentially what happens. It breaks down into those first four, those last six, which is the first four, love God. The last six, love others. But here's what I want to show you this morning. This fifth one is absolutely crucial. It's super important. In fact, it's kind of a link. It's a bridge between the first four and the last five. And so I want us to look at it this morning. Now, just as we experienced just a minute ago together, the instruction of following God is relayed to the children by the parents. In fact, in the next chapter from what we've been looking at in Deuteronomy chapter 6, Moses gives that instruction to the Israelite people. He says, these commands that I've given you, teach them to your children. So it's the parents' responsibility to teach the children what it means to follow God. Now, I want to say this again. It is not the pastor's job. It is not the ministry, kids ministry leader's job. It is the parents' job to help disciple their children, to raise them up to follow God's ways. A friend of mine several years ago helped me to see that the home is it's kind of the laboratory for society. Here's what I mean. How do children learn how to cooperate on a team? By first learning to share their toys with their siblings. How does a child learn self-control for studying for a test, for example? By learning not to eat that last cookie that's out. So the family is the laboratory for all of society. Thus, the primary relationship that preludes all other relationships within society is the family. The family. And that's why this command is right where it is. Well, that's why it's the fifth command linking the first four and the last five. So with that in mind, let's turn to our Deuteronomy 5 passage again. We're going to be in Deuteronomy chapter 5. We'll start reading in verse 1. So if you have your Bible, you can follow along and follow along the screen, or there's also Bibles in the seat backs in front of you. Starting from verse 1. Moses summoned all Israel and said, hear, Israel, the decrees and laws I declare in your hearing today. Learn them and be sure to follow them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Horeb. It was not with our ancestors that the Lord made this covenant, but with us, with all of us who are alive here today. The Lord spoke to you face to face out of the fire on the mountain. At that time, I stood between the Lord and you to declare to you the word of the Lord, because you were afraid of the fire and did not go up the mountain. And he said, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Okay, so from the last half of verse 16, we can see why Moses is reminding the Israelites why this command is so important. Honoring their parents is preparing them for going into the promised land. Well, like we said a minute ago, we see over and over again in Scripture God's instruction for parents to teach their children God's ways. This command is given to the children, not to the parents. And even though this command is given to the children, it still carries with it some intrinsic things and the intrinsic ability to teach children a few things. And this morning, I'd like to show you three lessons that honoring our parents teaches us as we follow Jesus. As we dive into these lessons, I think it's important to define the word honor here. So both in the Hebrew used by Moses here in Deuteronomy and in the Greek that Paul's going to use later when he basically revisits and reemphasizes this command, they help bring some clarity to what it means to honor someone. So the word here in Hebrew used is the word kavod. It's the same word used to describe God's glory. It has this idea of a heaviness, of a weightiness. Now, students, this is not where you can insert some kind of fat joke towards your parents, okay? This is not like a your mama's so fat kind of time, all right? That's not what it means. No, it means that just like God himself, our parents should automatically have importance in our lives, or a natural esteem from us because of their position. And here's why. Because God has given them that position. God has given them that authority in our lives. We should honor our parents because God has given them that role in our lives. So if nothing else, we honor them because the Lord says, honor them. I just want to make sure we make that statement known from the very beginning. Now, parents, just a side note, I know we've been kind of hinting on this all around this morning, but that position of authority carries some heavy and deep responsibility for you. There is a weightiness to it. When I was a youth and children's pastor, I would tell parents this all the time. I would say, you are the first picture of God that your children see. You're the first picture, fathers. You're the first picture of God that your children see. So here's the thing. If you are overbearing and demanding, you're going to set your children up for a relationship with God where they see him as a dictator, where they feel the need to perform for his approval. If you're emotionally absent, if you're distant emotionally, your child will see that God is uncaring and uninvolved. And they'll often seek out people who will give them that emotional connection that they're craving from you as a parent. But they won't find it in God. They'll find another individual, and a lot of times that expresses itself physically. So like I said, this is a weighty position that parents hold. So parents, I really encourage you to think carefully about how you are parenting. Because the way that you parent, it will influence your child's relationship of faith, not only with God, but with others. So be careful, be careful. Now, the Greek counterpart that Paul uses in the New Testament for the word honor, that we're going to use actually for each of these lessons that I'm going to show you this morning, it has kind of three parts to it. So the Greek word for honor has these three aspects to it. It's this. It's that it respect, prize, and value. Those are kind of the three definitions of the Greek word for honor that Paul uses. The late pastor and author Tim Keller said, "It's respect for your parents that's the basis for every other kind of respect and every other kind of authority." So in choosing to respect our parents by listening to their instruction and obeying their commands, even when we disagree, we learn to respect the authorities in our lives. And here's the thing, God is completely consistent when it comes to the authority that is over us. Whether it's our spiritual authority as pastors, our occupational authority, our bosses, or even the governing authority, the local, state, and national officials, God orders that we respect that authority. It's clear throughout Scripture. God has placed that authority over us, and he tells us to honor and respect that authority. We are called to submit ourselves to them, to obey their requests with the right attitude and the right action. So just think about this. If you can't submit yourself underneath your parents' authority, your boss's authority, your national leader's authority, how in the world can you expect to place yourself underneath God's authority? If you can't submit yourself to their authority, how are you going to do that to God's authority? Listen, this is going to be really, really hard to hear. But when you choose to do the opposite, when you choose to disrespect the authority in your life by disobeying, you aren't just disrespecting them. You're disrespecting God. All the children in the room, young, old, please hear me say this. When you disobey and disrespect your parents, you are disrespecting God. But when we submit to them, we're submitting ourselves to the Lord. We're submitting ourselves to God. And ultimately, that is what God is after. He wants your submission to him as Lord over your life. And we learn that type of submission, that type of respect for authority, we learn that from first honoring our parents. Now, quick question. This is kind of a poll for the room. How many of us have been told by our parents to do something that we did not want to do? Raise your hand. If you've ever been told by your parents to do something you didn't want to do, listen, every single hand should be raised in here because I know it's the truth, okay? Don't go lying to me, all right? Okay, now put your hands back down. Another question, all right? How many of you have ever had a coach tell you to do something that you did not want to do? Raise your hand, okay? For some of you, like me, that was one and the same person, okay? What about a boss? Anybody? Okay. Are we seeing a theme here? Are we seeing a consistent theme here? Yeah. There are many times in our lives that we're going to be asked to do something by authority over us that we do not want to do. But God wants us to respect that authority anyways. And learning to honor your parents sets you up for honoring the authority in your life. Now, maybe in your mind, you're starting to protest with me. You're starting to, well, Pastor James, hang on. You don't know my parents. They're super controlling. Like, that's just not fair. That's not fair, Pastor James. No way. That's just not fair. One more question. Do you trust God? Do you trust God? Because if you do, you will obey him where he says, honor your parents. I want you to hear me here. Because learning to do things you don't want to do is part of growing in Christ-like maturity. Learning to do things you don't want to do is part of growing in Christ-like maturity. God's Spirit doesn't always lead you to do comfortable things. He often calls us out of those places of comfort so that we can grow. And when we learn to honor and respect our parents, especially when we disagree or we don't want to do what they've asked us to do, then here's the thing. We are conditioning our hearts to respect the authority of God. And we're ready to do the uncomfortable things that he might ask us to do. The second thing honoring our parents teaches us is to prize wisdom. To prize wisdom. Over and over again in the book of Proverbs, Solomon tells the reader, whom he often refers to as his son, listen to your father's instruction and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland of grace to your to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. Now, here's what Solomon's alluding to. Godly parents will give godly instruction to their children. Meaning they're trying to lead their children in the best life of following God. That's always going to lead to a good life. That's what the instruction and teaching that Solomon is referring to here. He's literally pointing back to that Deuteronomy 6 passage that we just talked about a few minutes ago, where Moses tells the community to teach their children the commands of God. That's what Solomon's alluding to. So Solomon's not talking about a parent's teaching on how to solve a math equation how to make a really great thesis statement for their paper. Not that those are bad things to teach your children, but that's not what he's talking about here. What he's talking about here are the spiritual truths that lead your kid to life. That's what he's saying. And like we said earlier, That's the job of every parent, to teach their children how to follow God. And when we honor our parents, it teaches us to prize that kind of wisdom, godly wisdom. I've shared with my girls many times that I fully believe they're going to hold different opinions theologically than I do on some issues. I'm fully aware of that. They're going to hold different opinions on what the Scripture says on certain things. And I'm totally comfortable with that. Because I know that even me and my dad, who I love to death, he and I hold different opinions on certain passages of Scripture. And that's okay. That's okay. But what I want more than caring about if they're pre-trib or post-trib or whatever, more than any of that, what I deeply care is I care that they are following Jesus. Amen. That they love and they follow Jesus. What I want them to know, more than anything, are these godly truths of wisdom, that God loves them, that he desires a relationship with him, that he went to incredible lengths to demonstrate how deeply he wanted that relationship with them by sending his son to die on the cross so that they might come to know him. I want them to know that. I want them to know that there is nothing they could ever do or have done that God will not forgive if they turn to him and repent and ask for the Lord's forgiveness. There's nothing they can do that God will not forgive if they choose to repent and turn back to him. And I want them to know that their best life is not how much they make. It's not how big their family is. It's not what career they choose, but it is a life submitted to God Almighty. That's what I want them to know. In Ephesians 6, Paul points out that this command is the first one in the Ten Commandments that comes with a promise. And the promise is this: it will be well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Now, I want to make sure that we clarify something in this promise, because I grew up kind of misunderstanding this truth. The nature of this promise is not individualistic. In other words, it's not just for each individual that it's being said to. It's a community thing. And our tendency, especially as Westerners, is to kind of individualize Scripture. We personalize it to us. And there's a lot of inherent danger in that. Not everything in Scripture is a promise to us. Okay? We've already mentioned this a couple of times as we've been going through this Ten Commandments series, but not even these laws are for us. They're for Israel. They were pointed to Israel. So the true student of God's word, they're gonna look at three things. They're gonna look at who the author is, who the audience is, and what is the aim? What is the author trying to communicate? That's important for us to understand if the promise is for us or for somebody else. So God is not saying in this promise to Israel that Joseph Israelite, if he honors his parents, he's going to be happy, healthy, and wealthy. That's not what it's saying. What God is saying, what the promise is actually communicating, is that if the whole nation of Israel will honor their parents as a society, then their society is going to be a good society. It's going to be a good place to want to be a part of, a place that you would want to live. It's going to flourish. The nation's going to thrive. Now, I said this a couple of weeks ago when we talked about the Sabbath. Again, like I just said, these laws aren't necessarily for us. And the truth is that even though these commandments were given to Israel and the promises were for them, I still think that these promises, these principles that we see in here, are, if they're upheld by any community, if they'll live these things out, I still think that they will receive those promises. They'll still flourish. Because God's law communicates God's character. We've said that all the way through the series. God's faithful to his character. He's faithful to his character. So even if the promise wasn't for us, God's still going to do through his character what he says. So if we as a community, if any nation would choose to honor their parents as a nation, we're going to see that nation thrive. Sadly and unfortunately, we live in a society that for at least the last 60 or 70 years, I can say that we have devalued previous generations. We've devalued the elders of the generation before. And I personally believe that that is that our neglect in building strong relationships with the elders of our community and valuing them has led to the social decay of our country. So goes the family, so goes the nation. When we honor our parents, we intrinsically learn to value our elders. When you submit yourself to your parents, you're learning to value the wisdom of elders over you. Not just your parents, but other people, other elders, other parents. You're learning that. And here's the thing, I really believe that we can learn from their experiences, we can learn from their successes, we can learn from their failures. And here's what I want to do. I want to offer you a two-part challenge as a church. The first part, younger men, younger women. You that are young marrieds maybe, got younger kids, here's what I want to challenge you. I want you to challenge you to value the elders of our church. Value the elders of our church. Reaching out to them, go to coffee, sit down with them, listen to those experiences. Value the wisdom that they have. It might be from their failures that you glean. It might be from their successes. But my hope is that you'll become a better parent, you'll become a better spouse as you're in that relationship with someone who's older than you. Old men and old women, you don't get to get out of this. I charge you to find younger members of our church that you can invest in spiritually. And here's what I mean. I don't mean you have to have a Bible study with them. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that you make an intentional effort to build relationship with those that are younger, learning how you can pray for them. Every single one of us needs someone else to be praying for us. So learn how you could pray for a younger person, a younger adult in this congregation. And then when they let you, share your experience with them. This is what we need to do. That's the two-part challenge that I give you this morning. But I absolutely believe that in this challenge, this is another way that we can honor the spiritual parents that are in our church. I have shared this with you before, but there are very few other people that I have felt such a closeness theologically and spiritually to more than Pastor Ronald. He is someone I greatly, greatly respect, and I consider him like my own dad. And I'm grateful for our relationship. But there are other spiritual parents in this room. There are other spiritual men and women that God can use to bless you with deep wisdom, spiritual wisdom, and sensitivity to God's Holy Spirit. And I want to challenge you to church, submit yourselves underneath them. Submit yourselves to them. Now, maybe when I say those words, to submit yourself underneath someone, that makes you feel really uncomfortable. What you think in your mind, you think, I don't need to be underneath anybody. I'm my own person. I'm my own boss. I'm my own individual. I'm in charge of me. You're singing with old Mickey Blue Eyes himself. I did it my way. I want you to know that that's you. That's not following Jesus. Because if there's anyone who followed this command, this fifth command, to honor your parents well, it was Jesus. He modeled it perfectly for us. The gospel writer Luke tells us that after Jesus was found in the temple teaching, when he was 12 years old, he went back with Mary and Joseph, and the scripture literally says this, he obeyed them. If anyone on the face of the earth had the right to not have to listen to the authority of parents, it would be God himself. Right? I mean, that's just the truth. It would have been Jesus. But that's not what Jesus does. He willingly submits himself to them. But listen, Jesus' honor for parents doesn't just stop there. It doesn't just stop at his earthly parents. Because as God's only son, as his one and only son, the primary desire of Jesus' heart was to obey his true Father God. And in the most conflicted moment of his life, preparing to take on our penalty for the sin that the penalty that our sin deserved, and being executed on the cross, Jesus didn't say, I did it my way. He cried out to the Father on our behalf, and he said, your will be done. So the real question we have to ask ourselves as we look at this commandment to honor our parents is, are we going to dig our heels in, choosing not to submit to the authority around us that God has placed over us? Or are we going to see the life this commandment was intended to give us by submitting ourselves to the authority that's over us? Which ultimately leads to God himself. That authority leads to God himself. Because one way proclaims this, I did it my way. And the other says, Father, your will be done. Let's pray. Father, this morning, there's so much depth in this command that when we choose to honor our parents, it's more than just their authority that we're choosing to honor. It's actually the other authority that you've placed over our lives because, God, you care deeply that we honor authority. Because ultimately, it leads to us honoring your authority in our lives. And so, Father, this morning, I pray that if we've missed that mark, if we've been, God, disobedient and disrespectful to our parents, God, that, first of all, that we confess that to you, that we would choose to repent and turn back to your way, which says to honor them. Father, I know that can be hard for some of the people in this church. God, not necessarily because of their heart, but because of who their parent is. And I pray that they would still choose to seek to honor their parents, despite the fact of who they are. God, that they would choose to honor them because that's what you desire for us. Father, ultimately, though, I pray that as a church, we would submit ourselves underneath your authority to say, God, we want to do it the way you want it to be done. Your will be done. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you have questions about this week's message, or would like to start a conversation with someone about what it means to walk with Christ, please email pastor@cfeb.church. You can find earlier episodes of our podcast on our website at cfeb.church, where you can also give online to help support community fellowship in our mission to reflect and share Christ's love. We can also be found on many major distribution platforms like Apple Podcasts, where you can subscribe to stay connected. Thank you again for listening. Now go out and love one another like Jesus did.